take care of the farmers by providing them loans when the crops have not been too great and the farmers are in need. And so therefore, these middlemen don't just help these farmers get their produce to the market, they also help them in many other ways. And because they are part of that very community where the farmers themselves come from, therefore, these middlemen are actually a lifeline for these farmers. Now, what the Indian government with this Farming Act wanted to do was to completely replace a tried and tested system, which had been in place for many centuries now, with a more corporate system. So they wanted to bring in big agro-industrial complexes where they would buy directly from the farmers, they would buy the produce from the farmers, and then distribute that those products across India and obviously to other parts of the world. The farmers were not happy with that because quite simply they thought that something which they have tried and trusted for so long, for generations, is suddenly being replaced overnight with a more corporate system. A lot of these farmers do not understand how the corporate world works. They won't know who to deal with. They won't know the people who are running these big agro-industrial complexes. It'd be a totally alien concept for them. And perhaps some reform was necessary, but such a drastic reform in such a short period of time was not something the farmers were willing to accept. Hence, there was open protest.
Last but not least, Mr. Rizvi, farm laws are being overturned now. Why couldn't the people pressurize the government in overturning the CAA?
That is a really, really good question, because the CAA unfortunately does not impact the overwhelming majority of the Indian population, the Indian citizens. It impacts people who have come from other countries into India. And the law itself is very discriminatory because it blatantly excludes Muslims from applying, Muslims who come in from other neighboring countries into India as refugees or asylum seekers or as workers, and it excludes them from applying for Indian citizenship on the basis they are Muslims.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Rizvi. So glad to have you on the program. Now, let's see how people have reacted on social media on farmer protests in India.
Claudia Webb MP, a Member of Parliament for Leicester East, has appreciated Indian farmers and believes their protest is an example to the world how injustice must be defeated. Spiritually Speaking believes there are many lessons to take away from the Indian farmers' protest for organizing, for justice and for individual happiness. Zara Sultana MP wrote a tweet about Indian farmers and mentioned that the will and determination of Indian farmers forced Modi to repeal his anti-farmer laws.
And that was our episode about censorship in Kashmir and farmer laws in India. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We will meet again next week. So till then, take care.
In the limelight.
The Summit for Democracy was not about defending democracy. Rather, it was a geopolitical gambit to advance U.S. foreign policy objectives, says C.J. Policronio, writer, in an article titled Biden's Democracy Summit Prioritize U.S. Hegemony Over Democratic Ideals. Stay tuned for more. For stark evidence that we live in a world where political hypocrisy reigns supreme, one need look no further than Biden's recent democracy summit. The United States, which was rated for the fifth consecutive year as a flawed democracy by a leader in business intelligence, sought to project itself at the recent summit as a leader in the fight to preserve global democracy, despite its long and dark history of overthrowing democratically elected governments and installing military dictatorships, and in spite of its ongoing support for any regime, however autocratic, that supports the interests and objectives of the US empire. And if this wasn't hypocritical or farcical enough, many of the countries invited to take part in the summit are governed by leaders with little concern for democratic norms, such as India's Narendra Modi, Brazil's Jair Bolsonaro, and Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines. There are authoritarian-led nations, but they enjoy robust economic and political relations with the United States of America. China, Russia were not invited. Neither was Turkey because of Recep Tayyip Erdogan's extensive military deals with Russia. The summit brought together leaders from governments and the private sector, all of whom seem to have accepted the fact that democracy is under strain in today's world, but there was no acknowledgement of the factors responsible for the weakening of democratic governance and the resurgence of authoritarianism. In sum, the Summit for Democracy was not about defending democracy. Rather, it was a geopolitical gambit to advance U.S. foreign policy objectives. As such, the question as to why democracy is undergoing an alarming decline across the world was simply left hanging in the air. What really accounts for the spread of authoritarianism over the last few decades? And how does it differ from the forms of political authoritarianism that were prevalent during the Cold War era? Today's authoritarianism, often called authoritarian populism, is a complex phenomenon with unique economic, cultural, political, and social dimensions. Thus, while the ideological location of authoritarian populism is to be found on the far right of the political spectrum, there are important differences with regard to policy making between regimes such as Viktor Orban in Hungary and Donald Trump's during his four-year reign. Different political contexts also play a key role in the resurgence of authoritarianism. Thus, while the rise of the new radical right in Europe is directly linked to the decline of the left on the continent, in Latin America, by contrast, the radical right has grown in a period of sharp electoral gains by the left. Nonetheless, what bonds authoritarian leaders in today's world is their affinity for forms of political behavior that result in repressive measures, undermine all forms of collective decision-making and indeed of the democratic process itself, and lead to the formation of autocratic regimes. In addition, some certain leaders employ a rhetoric that can be loosely defined as xenophobic, if not outright racist, while seeking at the same time to gain popular support by using an ideology of extreme nationalism and emphasizing the law and order as the basis for their political legitimacy. The weakening of democracy and the spread of authoritarian politics in many parts of the world is intrinsically linked to the contradictions of the global neoliberal project. For the progressive forces, therefore, restoring democracy entails putting an end to the neoliberal nightmare that has plagued the world for the past 40 years. Without undoing neoliberalism and all other things being equal, the slide further and further toward authoritarianism is a distinct possibility.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
This is a short part of some articles about Imam Khomeini's point of view on religion and politics. In Imam Khomeini's viewpoint, man has some levels and ranking that extended from nature to world of divinity, and he needs training for his development and perfection in these spheres, which is not possible except through religion. This is because Allah is aware of man and his existential dimensions and potentials, and only He can design a fitting scheme that covers all dimensions and potentials of man.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Spring of Truth. I am your host, Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, and we are looking at some point of views made by Al-Imam al-Khumayni radwanullahi alayhi. Among the things that Imam al-Khumayni radwanullahi alayhi said, and he's talking about gatherings and masses and stuff like that, he said, "The coming together of the people under the divine standards, the banner of Hussein, becomes organized. If a major power decides to have a very large gathering, all inclusive, gets together of the people for some purpose in some city, it takes them many days, even weeks, with considerable effort, publicity, and expense to bring a crowd of, say, 50 to 100,000 in the appointed place to listen to some speaker." Imam Khomeini's talking is finished here. So if you look at the gatherings of Imam al-Hussein, you see masses, hundreds of thousands, and even in 40 millions of people. And you don't see anyone organizing them. They organize themselves. They are organized by themselves, and the events go smoothly, beautifully, with no harm done and no one being hurt, and no expenses are required. Compare that to any event held by any government. It requires months and months of planning and preparation and a lot of expenses, and a lot of things need to be done and taken care of.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi sallallahu alayhi.
You can see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself, puts His hand with the group, with the people, they become organized. Islam itself is a system that tells you to organize yourself from within. So me, you, and all the Muslims around the world, we already know what to do without anyone telling us, because we have the teachings of Islam, where other people don't have that. So they require this planning, they require this effort. Have you seen how people in masses and hundreds and sometimes in thousands, they gather to pray in perfect lines? And there's no one telling them where to go, what to do, and how to sit, and how to pray, and how to line themselves. They do it naturally and automatically. This is the power of Islam. When Islam enters your life, it makes you a very organized person. It makes you know how to deal and how to move with the crowd without being told. And Arba'een, the 40th of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, speaks for itself. And any gathering in this regard, even when we have just normal speeches and normal lectures, you see everything is super organized by itself. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and condolences to you all on the martyrdom anniversary of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And here is a famous statement from her noble father on her merits. Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her has hurt me. And whoever hurts me displeases God.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. At the beginning of the program, we express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Today, Saturday, is the 13th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today is the anniversary of the demise of the martyrdom of Prophet of Allah's daughter, Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. We express our condolences on this day to all Muslim brothers and sisters.
For her Haydar cries, Fatima has died. For her Haydar cries, Fatima has died. And by you is your sword, O Lion of your Lord. And by you is your soul, O Lion of your Lord.
The Holy Prophet and Lady Fatima, peace be upon them. This tradition are reported from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny regarding Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Fatima is part of me. Whoever annoys her annoys me. Fatima is part of me. Whoever offends her offends me. Dear brothers and sisters, the love of the Holy Prophet for his one and only beloved daughter was unprecedented. At a time when ignorant Arabs considered a female child as a source of disgrace and a burden upon her family, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, accorded her with highest degree of respect and showered his undying love over her. Aisha, the wife of the Holy Prophet, has been reported saying, Never have I seen anyone resembling the Messenger of Allah in his way of standing and sitting more than Fatima, may Allah grant her more honor. When she came in to see him, he would rise to his feet, take her hand, kiss her, and seat her where he was seated. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam has reported that Fatima, peace be upon her, has said, when the verse, "Do not make the addressing of the messenger among you like your addressing one another," was revealed, "I fear to call the messenger of Allah, Father. So I began calling him messenger of Allah. He, peace be upon him, ignored me two or three times and finally said, Fatima, this verse was not revealed for you or your family, nor does it include your progeny. Call me Father. It is surely better for the heart and more satisfying for your Lord." Dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters, you are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We express our condolences on the martyrdom of Lady Fatima alayha salam.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha. As we know, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha was the only daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who lived long enough in order to, so that she got married to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and she was the mother of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Hussein, Hazrat Zainab, and Hazrat Umm Kulthum. We find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha was specially favored by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the reason is simply that when on the day of on the night of ascension to the heavens, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given an apple in the paradise, just before in the special realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was given an apple, and after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that apple, it turned into semen, out of which Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam alayha later on was born. And because of this, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam alayha was always a reminder of the ascension experience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him. Because of this, we find that unfortunately, this especially favored lady and female infallible was tortured, was wronged and was oppressed shortly after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's really a shame for the early Islamic history and the rulers who confiscated the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam that they did so with the Prophet's only daughter. And that experience, that calamity led to Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha's martyrdom. According to the special suggestions and recommendations of leading religious authorities, the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha should be specially commemorated, such that it should remind everybody that it's another Ashura for Muslims, because it's reminiscent of the martyrdom of the only daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ziyara of Hazrat Fatima.
اللهم صل على الصديقة فاطمة الزكية حبيبة حبيبك ونبيه وأم أحبائك وأصفيائك التي انتجبتها وفضلتها واخترتها على نساء العالمين.
O Allah, send blessings on the truthful Fatima, the pure, the dearest during of thy most beloved friend. The Prophet, the mother of thy friends and close supporters, whom thou chose, favored and gave preference over all the women of the world.
Allahumma kulli taliba laha mimman zalamaha واستخف بحقها وكن الصائر اللهم بدم أولادها.
O Allah, call to account those who wronged her and made light of her rights, and take revenge from those who killed her children.
اللهم وكما جعلت أم الأئمة الهدى وخليلة صاحب اللواء والكريمة عند الملأ الأعلى.
O Allah, in the same manner as thou chose her to be the mother of the Imams of Guidance, the associate of the standard bearer on the Day of Judgment, and gave her the loftiest position in the highest heaven.
Sallallahu alayhi wa alim wa tughirru biha a'yun dhurriyataha wa ablighhum anni fi hadhihi as-sa'at afdhal at-tahiyyati was-salam.
So send blessings on her and on her mother, blessings that brighten the face of her father, Muhammad, blessings of Allah be on him and on his children, which give joy and delight to her children, and convey my heartfelt salutations and greetings to them just now. Today's special expresses its condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her.
نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
A quiet funeral. In the darkness of the jet black night, when eyes were asleep and voices were silent, a heavenly procession left Imam Ali's house while carrying the messenger of Allah's daughter to her final abode. The heartbreaking procession moved towards an unknown location, followed by a small number of devoted ones. They were Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, and Umm Kulthum. Abu Dhar, Ammar, Miqdad, and Salman were following them. Where all the thousands who inhabited Medina? One asks, and the answer came, Fatima made will that they may not be present at her funeral. The family and the friends hurry to bury Fatima. Then they rush back to their own homes, so that no one would know where Fatima was buried. In such a matter, the first star from Ahlul Bayt set after the sun. the Prophet and left everyone with the only light of Imamate.
My dear brothers and sisters, when we speak about Fatimiyya, you may say that it's difficult to find optimism in the majalis of Fatimatu Zahra salawatullahi alayha. But even Fatimatu Zahra in her last days showed some optimism. Why? When she tells Amir al-Mu'mineen, وَعَفِّي مَوْضِعَ قَبْرِ, when she tells the Imam, Ya Ali, bury me at night and conceal the location of my grave, it was an act of defiance. So no one can say that Fatima lent credence to the government of Abu Bakr. No one can say that. She challenged them. It was an act of defiance against that illegitimate government. But in addition to the fact that the concealment of her grave was an act of defiance, it was also an act of hope. Because Fatima alayhi salam had hope that generation after generation, the Muslims would ask a fundamental question. A question that will take them from Islam to Iman. That will take them from being those who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to those who perfect their deen by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah wa Aliyun Waliyullah. She had hope that until the zuhur of the Imam, people will wander in Medina asking, where is the grave of Zahra? Only Fatima can expose Haqq by concealing her grave.
Condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Prophet of Allah's daughter, Lady Fatima. That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayer and fi amanillah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one. Here people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The Institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover a turtle nest from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you'll be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas ho 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 come out in bubble from through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. 8 sand artists from around the world have created these spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf, and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side, was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days as she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan, kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university official spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you built, all the material, need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDes Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show Friends, an igloo, and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.